Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Jag sitter här på Hotel Market Seminar och jag ska prata med Tom som jobbar på Saber. Och han är... What your title is?
VP of Product Management.
And you work especially with hospitality?
Yeah, hospitality distribution. So, central reservation systems.
So, what is... if you only listen to this for 3 minutes, what's the most important news in your business?
So right now, I think the most important news and something we saw quite a bit even today in the conference is the evolution of the distribution landscape for the hotels to expand their distribution of products beyond rooms. We had Cindy present some research about willingness to buy. We saw the upsell likelihood coming from Oki today. So there was a very consistent theme about hotels becoming retailers and really getting into selling far more than just a room for a night.
Saber to me is a competitor to Amadeus and to Travelport. And you started also with airplanes and then you went over to hotels. Am I correct?
So about 12 years ago, Saber got into the hospitality business through their acquisition of Synexis. And that really was the first foray for them into the hotel marketplace. So they now have three business units with the Travel Network. That's the traditional GDS that you know with, you know, Travelport and Amadeus. The airline solutions business, as you mentioned, and the hospitality solutions business. And so similar to what Amadeus has done over the past 2 years, with the creation of Amadeus Hospitality is the creation of all of their hospitality specific products and business lines. That's what Saber Hospitality was about 12 years ago when it was created.
So, and you also told us that the air companies make 10% of their profit, or the revenue, sorry, comes from other things than planes. How did they do, and how should the hotel industry do?
So some of that comes from what's called reclassification of revenue. So it's things that used to be included in the rate, so that you would pay for a fare. And so by taking it out of the fare, it gave the consumer choice. Except that the airlines didn't typically then lower the rate. They just started also charging you for those things. And so it's, you know, everything from a group priority check-in to luggage. But with airlines, you are a sort of a captive audience member in a metal tube for a few hours at most. Whereas the opportunity exists, I think, in a much greater sense for hotels, because you're a guest for a much longer period and there are far more opportunities for non-room elements to be incorporated into a guest stay.
But this development in the airplane business was started with Ryanair and EasyJet and all this low cost. Yeah. And that is something that is the hotel industry ready for the same sort of companies, or will we see another development?
I think the evolution and the reason for this move is driven by different forces. So with something like Ryanair, it was pure about extracting the last bit of revenue from the consumer, and trying to charge them for everything. And of course, Ryanair famously even explored charging you to use the restrooms. Whereas from the hotel's perspective, they're focusing on it purely from a guest service perspective, and trying to map to a guest's need. And part of that is in reaction to the evolution of the alternate accommodation space, where guests are coming in. You've heard terms like stay like a local, which is a former tagline that the Airbnb used to use. Hotels have the opportunity and the knowledge to provide that service, but they have historically been just centered around standardized operations and fulfilling a very basic stay for a guest. And so I think the driving force for the hotels comes from a guest service perspective and not necessarily purely a revenue maximization perspective.
And I've heard when you go to the hairdresser, they have like the same problem. It's like the hairdresser wants to cut your hair, but they don't want to sell shampoo, even though they could sell shampoo. Mm-hmm. How you can give them the technical tools and the reasons why, but still it's very hard to change people's minds. What do you think?
So that's where you're not going to see a consistent implementation of that methodology throughout the industry. Different brands are going to approach it, just as within the past 10 years, hotels have rethought the lobby. And they said, we want this to be a communal space. We want this to be open restaurant space. And they've taken very different approaches to how they treat the lobby. I expect the same type of thing will occur with hotels, where they will find different ways of providing guest choice and guest flexibility that is not just about trying to sell them something else.
So will this be big in leisure or in business travel or in both? We heard somebody coming talking about business travel and saying that there are so many rules around business travel, mm-hmm. that we're not sort of allowed to buy anything. What do you say? Am I wrong?
So there will be very much a different implementation within the business traveler segment. One of the biggest areas which we already see is in transportation to and from the hotel, including parking. So those types of elements are not typically TMC or corporate buyer constrained. In fact, the opportunity exists for the corporate traveler to reduce friction. And that's a real important metric. So it's not even necessarily, if you think about from a leisure segment, it's about increasing pleasure and it's about creating a nice, fun experience. For the business traveler, it's everything I can do to reduce pain, is to make my travel experience as seamless and repeatable and easy as possible. And so I think it will be approached from two different perspectives. It will drive very similar outcomes, but they will be implemented differently. So in the case of the corporate buyer being able to manage their airport to hotel transfer, let's just say, or to be able to pre-reserve parking, those types of things reduce points of pain that a guest would experience right before they walk in. Because you don't want a corporate traveler to have the last thing that they experienced was standing in a long line for a taxi, or not being able to find parking, or having to park at a garage a couple blocks down the street. To have more and more of their stay accounted for up front will be attractive to both the corporate buyer as well as to the travel agency, because of course if they're going to get a commission on the total purchase, they will happily offer parking as part of the stay. So I believe the implementations will be very different, because those types of services will be equally as viable to the leisure segment, but for really coming from a different emotional perspective.
I'm going to check here my notes. You talked about Netflix having 300 million, $33 million, yeah. Sorry, different. Well, explain what I'm trying to ask you.
Yeah, sure. So what one of the things that Netflix does is that even though they are still serving up the same content, so think about it like drawing the parallel to hotels. A hotel, if they're going to sell a room, still has the same physical product that they're going to sell. But what they do with Netflix is really about the content, about how they market it to you as the consumer. So one of the common things that they'll do is they'll personalize the imagery of what image you see on a particular show. So if you're interested in horror movies, they might show you a different image for Stranger Things of the scary monster, versus if you're an 80s movie fan, they'll show you a picture that appeals to you based upon your search history or your behavior while on the site. And so while the same physical product is still being given to you, you're watching the exact same show, it's the content that is being marketed to you. And that opportunity really transfers well to the hoteliers because of the different segments that they have to attract and the different personas they have to attract. And yet, especially when you're selling a room, it's still the same physical product. But there are different aspects of that product that are important to different people.
You talked a lot about data and about OTA and metadata and so on. And I have this feeling that Google is sort of trying to eat up a Booking and Expedia and so on. Am I right? And tell me a little bit about this process.
So you are correct. The sort of small big fish eating the smaller fish kind of paradigm here is that especially because of the free access to or kind of easy access to capital, which we heard from Martin earlier today, is resulting in smaller hotel chains being bought up. We heard 25C Hotels and Banyan Tree, all these hotel chains that got bought by Accor when they got capital. Similar things are sort of happening where the larger chains are kind of battling against the bigger Expedias and Booking.com. They're concerned. The OTAs, I think, are threatened most by both the likes of Google and eventually Amazon, but not yet. And so Google, with their rollout of their Book on Google program, has essentially created a lack of booking transparency to the consumer, meaning I don't know where I booked, I just booked on Google, even though the booking didn't really happen on Google. The booking happened on a channel that, as a consumer, I don't know that it may have actually booked even through an OTA or booked brand direct or booked through some other intermediary. So it's made it easier for the consumer because they stop having to shop. It's almost an evolution, actually, of the meta model. It's the meta model without the referral. Most meta, then, you know, you're shopping and you have transparency of the site that you shopped and you transfer to that site for booking. Google's approach is, we're going to do that meta aggregation, but then we're going to book for you. And don't worry about where it books. Not your concern as a guest. And they are right to do that because from the guest's perspective, they may not actually care, did I book on Expedia or did I book on Booking.com? I don't care. I want this hotel. And that's the important thing. So done right, I actually think that puts more power in the hands of the hotels, but it certainly will be scary for the meta players and for the OTAs.
In the future, do you think Google will sort of take control even of a customer's choice? That sort of, instead of giving you different alternatives, go here, Google will say, you should go here. And you think that process, do you think that will happen? I think because I love to sort of choose different hotel, but most people, they don't like to choose. They just want to go to a good place. Mm-hmm. You understand what I mean?
Yes. So I think it's been Google's mentality to always make data accessible to the end consumer, but that's not to say that they can't heavily influence the decision. So I think how it will naturally play out is that they will still heavily influence the decision, but with the opportunity to see everything. So I doubt that they'll ever get into the situation where some of the early OTAs used to do what's called pay for play or pay for placement. You still will have that with Google, and we should expect that with Google because they're all about pay for placement. But that's their business model, right? With their PPC, their pay per click, and their SEO. But that's not to say that the organic data. So if you think about the paid versus organic, that the organic data won't still be there. That's the traditional model that Google has operated. So I expect them to carry that forward into the way in which they treat hotels. Where we run a potential risk as a hotelier is that you might actually lose the ability to own your content. And that was one of the things that I was trying to focus on, is that if you have a highly differentiated hotel with lots of different room types, Google might tell you, if I want to list you, I just want to show you the whatever one room. And where that creates the risk is that if you've got this highly differentiated hotel product with lots of different unique rooms, you get washed into this very generic product, and then you're competing on location and price, and that's it. And so that's where I think there ends up being a risk. So it's not through any type of anti-competitive action, but more of an approach to try to say, we as a search engine are trying to help customers compare and buy two things on a shelf next to each other. So to best do that, we have to make it look as simple and generic as possible, which is against the best interest of the hotels. And that's where I think we have some potential friction between the hotels and Google in the future.
So what have I forgot to ask about that I should ask about? Or something more important that you want to tell us?
So I think, and it's something I didn't talk about in my session because I wanted to be more of a thought leadership piece, but it is true that there are many folks investing in solutions to this problem today, and you've probably heard of something called attribute-based selling, and it's something that we haven't really talked about at the hotel seminars today, but it's a pretty important evolving trend that I believe will be, by year end, there will be providers offering hotels the ability to price even their hotels by attribute. And so if you recall from Cindy's research, where she's understands the unique value of something like a room view, well, hotels already certainly charge by room view, but they always bundle it up into the particular room type. I think one big trend that will occur between within the next year is that hotels will have the pricing capability to actually price by the attribute even of a room. And what that then gives them is that control that they say, if they recognize that the value of the room is greater, that's not changing every one of my rooms. That's just one change to the attribute itself. And I think that's a pretty important trend that while it's powerful, there is all of that same friction that I talked about with the ecosystem of distribution will be the headwinds slowing it down. But I still think its value causes the headwinds to be overcome, meaning it's an important enough concept for the hotels to give them that operational flexibility and pricing control and frankly, transparency if they want it, that it will win out in the future.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. All right. Great.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.